and I know it'll help you if you'll listen. Here in the Word of God, open your Bible to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Amen. I'm sorry it's so hot in here. They're doing all they can do. Once it gets behind like that, it can't catch up. It's supposed to be 100 degrees Saturday. Amen. That's good for you. Get up there and work, mow your grass, something after we go visiting. We're looking at 2 Chronicles, chapter number 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. And here in the Bible. Amen. 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 Turn me on, brother. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Amen. All right. Now, what I want to do tonight, we're going to do a little study here for a few minutes tonight. You stay with me. Study the Word of God. And then we're going to make a list and we're going to write down people that we're going to try to get to come to church Sunday. I've got me a sort of little list at home. And we'll take a piece of paper like that and we'll write down, like I mentioned you a while ago, the Blankenships. I'll write their name down, and I'm going to call them. If I don't get them, I'm going to call them again. If I don't get them, I'm going to call them again. Got from now to Sunday and say, and then I'm going to say, look, y'all, 12th anniversary. Remember the good old days when you was in church? Let's get back in there and be there Sunday morning. So we'll, and then, of course, Sunday morning, we're having that big day. Won't you be praying for the bus kids that the Lord will just touch your heart? And then Sunday night, come back, and we'll preach, and we're going to have a little cookout. And just we'll have chairs set up, the water slide, bring the kids, grandkids, and let them have a good time. Free. It's all free. You can go buy you some liver mush, bring it, whatever you want to put on the grill. Amen. I ain't never tried liver mush on the grill. I imagine it'd be pretty hard to do because it sort of falls apart. But anyway, we're excited about it. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. I got strawberry pie tonight from Miss Dot, and I don't know if that's for the 4th of July or for anniversary. Is that for anniversary or just because you bless her heart. Bless her heart. I'll remember that. I'll remember that. No, we don't have ice cream tonight. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. Let's take our Bibles now and look at it, and I want you to help me. We're going to look at an amazing chapter. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight, and all y'all listen to me. One of the biggest mistakes Christians make is not reading their Old Testament. Some of the biggest blessings you'll ever get in the Bible are hid way back there in these Old Testament books. Like, the average Christian nowadays don't even know where 2 Chronicles is. All they do is turn on the radio and hear a feel-good, sing-good, everything's great message and a little song that says, he's awesome, he's awesome, he's awesome, he's awesome. They don't even know this in the Bible. And so we're going to study what the Bible says tonight. The devil will tell you that 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, you don't want to read that, all it is names. And that's not true. This is an amazing story. Amazing, amazing, amazing story here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. Here we go. Now, I'm going to look at this, and then we're going to read it all. Then we're going to give you a little Bible lesson on it. So, Abijah slept with his fathers. What does that mean? That means he died and went where they went. Where'd they go? Abraham's bosom, if they were saved. Their body went to the ground. Their soul went to Abraham's bosom in the Old Testament. And they buried him. So, that was talking about his soul, right? He slept with his fathers, and they buried his body in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. And in his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. We've been here 12. And the Lord gave these people rest for 10 years. And there's a reason for that. You know why the world's so messed up now? Because we ain't doing what God wants us to do. If the United States would get right with God and serve the Lord, He would give us rest. Look at verse 2. And Asa, he's the leader, did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods, little g, and the high places. What's that? We'll get back to that in a minute. And break down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. They had peace. They had everything. Boy, isn't it wonderful when you go through those times when everything's good? You know, and at home, at church, no bad news, bills are paid, kids are happy, everybody getting along. Them are blessed times. Them are wonderful times. But it says the Lord had given rest. Verse 7. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. That's a strange thing. Gates and bars around them cities. Because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. They built and prospered because they sought God, and God blessed their efforts. Bible said that man was over there in Psalm 1. It said, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isn't that something? You ever seen anybody, just everything they touch turns to gold? God just blesses some people like that. Verse 8, and Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, bow and arrows and stuff. And out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin, that bare shields and drew bows, 204,000. So somebody tell me, what's 300,000 and 204,000? 580? 580,000. He had 580,000 men in his army. All these were mighty men of valor. That's a rough bunch. 580,000 men you didn't want to mess with. Verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian. Uh-oh. Dun, 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 dun. Here come the Ethiopians. Zerah, with a host of 1,000,000. How many is that? I heard it. How many? It's a million. It's a million. 1,000,000 is a million. Guy had 1,000,000 soldiers against 580,000 soldiers and 300 chariots. Just everybody didn't have chariots back then. And came to Maresha. And then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. Get this prayer, y'all. Get this. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil, and they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. My, my, my. 15 little verses full of what God did for a bunch of people that looked to him and depended on him. Now, when you're fighting battles, and we fight them every day, our strength is in the name of the Lord. There's stuff that you're going to fight in your life that you are not strong enough by your own. Reason stands that 580 men can't whip 1,000 men. He had 580,000 against 1,000,000. Almost double. Plus some chariots. And there were some bad guys in Ethiopia. So 580,000 fights 1,000,000, and the Lord said, and smites them Ethiopians. Now the verse I want you to look at one more time, if you don't care, is verse 11. Look at verse 11. This is a verse that helped me for years, and I want to show it to you tonight and try to give you a thought on it. It's not going to be complicated. It's not going to be deep. Just a little practical something that'll help you. Verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Note, that verse is loaded. And the first part Asa said was, he said, Lord, it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. All right? Do you realize what he just said? And do you realize how strong God is? Do you realize how powerful the Lord is? Think about this. You know what he said? He said, Lord, it is nothing with you to help with many or with few. He said, God, you can win the battle with a few the same as you can with a bunch. Now, we're not like that. All right, let me illustrate what he was saying. Here's what he was saying. Watch this. I'm going to pick up this flower vase here, and that thing is heavier than it looks. Buddy, I'm telling you, it'll feel like a bowling ball. Right? And I'm going to carry it. All right? I can feel that. If I carried that a mile or two, I can feel it. All right. There's some dogs got after me the other day up there in Ruffin. And so I stopped and grabbed this stick about that long. And I could feel that thing. And it was weighting me down a little bit. And after I got the stick, they never did come out and bark at me. But I carried that thing. And now, if I said, okay, now I'm going to carry the table. Oh, all right, I got one end of it. Let me see if I can get... If I said I'm going to carry this table, it's harder for me to carry that table than it is that thing. You don't think I can do it, do you? I see y'all sitting there in the angle. I might can get up under here like this and do it. I don't know. I might can. You might be coming to see me in the hospital. There it went. Okay. Now, with me, there's a big difference in carrying this than this. But guess what? With God, there's no difference in him carrying that load nor that load. That's a blessing, people. That's a blessing. God has no limit. God don't say, well, I can do this, but that's a lot harder. With the Lord, 1,000,000 pounds is the same as an ounce. With us, we say, well, we got a hard job. Boy, we got a real hard job. With us, we say, we got an easy job. Look, with the Lord, there's no difference in carrying that paper and picking up this building. He said, it is nothing with thee to help with many or with few. Now, that'll preach, brother. That'll preach. Now, we get it in our head, well, the Lord helped us through this little thing, but man, this is a big thing. I don't know if God can do this. It's nothing with the Lord to help with many or with few. Matter of fact, you remember that story over there with Gideon? I know Gideon had all these. Does anybody know your Bible good enough to know how many soldiers Gideon had to start with before he got cut down to 300? Wasn't it like several thousand? I forget how many. He had a bunch. Wait, how many? I can't remember. It's in Judges. Somebody wants to look it up. But he had a bunch of guys. And the Lord said, no, you got too many, Gideon. You cut you down a little bit. Whacked them off and they had a split. And then they had another split. Had another split. Got him down to 300. And the Lord said, I'm going to deliver you by these 300 guys. And God did that to show that he don't have to have man's might and power to do something. Now, listen, sometimes we just say, the Lord this, the Lord that, and God this, and I serve God, and praise God, and hallelujah, glory to God, amazing grace, the Lord's good. We say that, we forget who we're dealing with here, people. We're talking about somebody who has all power. All power. It is no harder, listen to this, it is no harder for God to pick up this, it's as easy for him to pick up that book as it is the whole planet Earth in his hands. It exerts no more energy on him. It don't strain him one bit. Did you find it? 22,000. I was thinking around 30. 22,000. It was 30 when I preached it. No, I'm just kidding. 22,000. I knew it was a bunch. Lord cut him down to 300, brother, and won the victory with him for 22,000. That's a lot. That's a lot. Think about this now. Now, we got to get this in our head. God ain't like us. We're human. He's God. We're finite. He's infinite. We're mortal. He's immortal. We have limits. He has no limits. Let's see what our limit is. I don't know. Now, this pulpit here is heavy. Now, I'm telling you, this thing here, and I can pick up one. I don't know. I don't think I can pick this whole pulpit up. And I imagine he probably could. He probably could. That thing's heavy. Y'all moved this thing before. That thing is heavy. But you might say, well, Brother Jason, Jeremy, these guys, they can pick up the pulpit. All right. Let's say the table and the pulpit and the piano. They ain't going to do it. See, we have limits. God don't have no limits. Now, that means this. And listen to this and shout, folks. It ain't a bit harder for God to give you a penny than it is $1,000. It ain't a bit hard. It's the same amount of... You say, well, why don't he give me $1,000? You might be like that little boy. A little kid was praying one time and he thought he'd outsmart God. And this little boy, he was praying one time and he said, Lord, is it true that with you, 1,000 years is a day, and or like a minute, 1,000 years is a minute, and a minute's 1,000 years, and all that? And the Lord said, yeah, it's true. And he said, Lord, is it true that $1,000,000 is like a penny to you, and a penny's like $1,000,000? And he said, Lord, yeah, the Lord said, yeah, that's true. And he said, Lord, would you give me a penny? And the Lord said, wait a minute. See, that's the way that. But see, God's able. He's able. He's able to give you whatever He wants to. Now, you say, well, if God's able to do anything, why don't He fix my mess? And why don't He help me with my bill? That's the question. The question is, how do we get God to work in our situation? That's the biggie right there. It's not that He can't. It's not that He's not able. Lord, He can do anything. But how are we going to get Him to work in our situation? That's the question. It ain't, people say, well, I know one thing. I've got to pay all these bills and I can't afford it. And then I've got health problems and now I've got this problem and now I've got that problem. Why can't God just help me? It ain't that He can't. It's just getting ourselves to the place where He's willing to work. That's the question. God, with God, much is the same as little. With God, heavy is the same as light. With God, dark, same as light. He can see in the dark. With God, giving you $5 would be like giving you $10,000. It ain't harder for Him. It ain't like, well, I can perform this miracle, but it's going to be hard on me, but I'm going to try to. They're all the same for Him. He has no limits. He's all power. I still think some of y'all ain't getting it. You just get this through your head. Asa said, Lord, it is nothing with you to help with many or few. He said, Lord, we can whoop that crowd with one person just like we can with 1,000,000. Help us, Lord. Now, what I want you to do tonight is I want you to take your problem and your burden and your situation and say, Lord, I know you're able to do it. That's not the question. I know you can do it. That ain't no question of can you do it. The question is, what do I need to do? What do I need to be? Where do I need to be so that you'll work in my life and in my heart? That's what we're going to look at here just for a minute. And there ain't no such thing as a big burden for God. There ain't no such thing as the Lord don't have no strains. Nothing strains Him. Nothing weights Him down. You know, when the Lord was here, why He just soon raise a dead person and soon turn a rock into bread or whatever. He didn't have like, well, I don't know if I can do that or not. He, bow, did it. Bow, get up. Bow, you're healed. Bow, blind man. It wasn't like, now I can do this headache, but I can't do that blindness. That's a little too much. He can do anything. Lord can do anything. And you say, well, if He can, why don't He? That's $64,000 question. Let's see what Asa and them did before he moved. Here's what they did. Verse 2, it said, Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. That's what we got to do first. I know we're not saved by works. We're not kept by works. I know our works don't impress God. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to get God to work in your situation, it does make a difference. The lifestyle that you live, the habits you have, how you spend your time. You're never going to get nothing from God just sitting backslid and living like a devil and chasing the world and wanting to be like the world and do the things of the world. You ain't going to get nothing from the Lord that way. And it's the first thing they did. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. Asa did not go to the near neighborhood country club and get drunk. Asa did not steal his pay. He paid people what he owed them, paid his bill, paid his tithes, whatever. He honored God, gave sacrifice. He done the best he could to do right. Are you doing that? There ain't no use saying, Lord, will you work a miracle for me when you are deliberately doing wrong. Deliberately. Now, don't get me wrong. You say, well, Brother Danny, we can't be good enough. I know all that. You can't be good enough to earn God's righteousness. You can't be good enough to earn God's forgiveness. You can't be good enough. But we're not talking about forgiveness and righteousness and being justified. We are talking about God working a miracle in your life. And if you want God to work a miracle in your life, then your life should be pleasing to Him. Best you can do. Best you can do. I like what old Dr. Ruckman said. He said, if you're doing something wrong, quit it. If you're doing something wrong, quit it. He said, if you can't quit it, kick yourself around the block. Like this. Pow! 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 Just kick yourself if you can't quit. And you say, well, Brother Danny, I have some things and it's just hard for me to quit. Yeah, I know. We all do. We all do. But if you can't quit, kick yourself. Fast. Pray. Do whatever you need to do. And I understand we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Asa wasn't perfect. But it does say he did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 3, it said he took away the altars of the strange gods. Now, I don't know what all that meant. I know there was Baal worship. I know there was Moloch, the kids passing through the fire. I know there was groves, them groves in the Old Testament. You Bible teachers, right? Marvin, Brother Cain, maybe y'all can give us some light on those groves. But they built images in them groves, and people were inclined to worship them. It's idol worship. And that's why you see all the time the high places. It'll say, well, the people did this, but they still sacrificed in the high places. Translated, that would mean this. They quit drinking and they quit going to parties, but they still watch bad stuff on TV. That would be like translating that into our day. They never did get rid of them high places. They never did get rid of that one thing. They did this, but they never did quit that. That would be that. Well, y'all know something special about them high places that I don't know. I've done a good study on it one time. It's been a long time ago. Anybody? Well, in the Old Testament, it's all the way through there. The people still sacrifice in the high places. Now, if you read your Old Testament, you'll know what I'm talking about. Over and over and over, the people still sacrificed in the high places. And you say, well, what is them high places? They built groves. They put images in them groves. And they worshiped false gods. And you know what Asa did? He said, look, we ain't going to do this. We're not going to honor the devil around here. This is of the devil. It's gone. He went in his kid's room, and if he found rap music, he said, it's going out. He said, well, they might rebel in it. Well, rebel or no rebel, it's going out. Hey, we're going to do right around here. We're going to do the right thing. Well, but don't you think he should let them make your own choice? No, I want God to bless our home. I want God to bless. He said, we're going to do right around here. We're going to do right. I mean, it's tough. It's tough. It's hard. You don't want to have a fight with that teenager. You don't want to have a battle with that kid every week over their music and all that. It's tough. But Asa did that which was right and good in the eyes of the Lord. I raised 3 teenagers. I know. I went through all that stuff. It's a battle. It's a battle. But you as a parent are responsible to God to be their parent, not their friend. Their parent, not their buddy. Their parent. Their father. Their mother. And that's your job. And to get rid of the altars of the strange gods. Now, I'm not trying. I don't know anybody in here that does this, and I ain't judging you if you do. But I just can't imagine. I can't imagine letting my kid put a poster in their room of Lil Wayne doing this. And I mean, that's a false god, folks.
That's a false god. And I know that's not popular. And I know I'm probably the only preacher in Burke County to even say something like that tonight. But I'm telling you, if we want God to bless us, we can't honor the world's gods and expect God to bless us. I mean, truth's truth, ain't it? What do you want a preacher for if he don't tell you the truth? Am I telling you a lie? No, I'm not. So if I'm telling you the truth, ain't no use having a preacher if you don't. I guess that's why some churches don't have preachers.
Yeah.
I know some churches don't need a preacher. They ain't going to do nothing he says anyway. They ought to save that money and give it to a missionary or something. Because the deacons run it and the families run it, and that's all it's ever going to be anyway. I mean, I don't used to have a preacher. But listen, if I'm going to preach, I'm going to tell you the truth. Even if it cuts my own head off, and I've cut my own head off lots of times. I preached myself into the altar under conviction. I'm saying, God, I'm a hypocrite. But still the truth, ain't it? The truth is the truth. So old Asa, son, he come in there and he cleaned the house. He said, we're going to straighten up around here. He said, son, y'all married? No. Okay, you got to get married. Y'all, is that your liquor in the refrigerator? Yeah, okay, pour it out. Is that your... is that yours? Yep, get rid of it. Don't even put it in the trash because the trash is still in the house. Amen. Out. Off the property. Amen. One kid came up to me one time and said, man, Brother Danny, I got right with God and I got a bunch of old dirty rock music and I'm going to go home and sell every bit of it. And I said, no, don't sell it. No, don't sell it. I'm going to give up all my dope and I'm going to sell it to the guy down here and let him smoke it. If it ain't right for you, it ain't right for him. But anyway, old Asa, he said, man, we're going to straighten up around here, bless God. We're going to do right. You know, we're getting ready to go to camp. And I've talked to preachers this week about camp. Me and Brother Jason was talking about the other night about how one time we went to camp and the Spirit of the Lord moved in and it started getting good. You know why God does that? Because somebody been trying to live right. Somebody been trying to pray. Somebody seeking Him. Somebody believing Him. And I know sometimes God just blesses us when we don't even deserve it, the way it is most of the time. But I'm going to tell you something. If we want the Lord to bless our camp, we'll start seeking Him. And I ain't got that part yet. I'm going to hurry. If you want to say something, you're welcome to interrupt me and say it. Okay? Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Let's pray. I'm asking everybody here in the next 2 weeks, let's pray about youth camp. Youth camp is the most important, best thing you can do for a young person, in my opinion. I don't know of anything in my ministry that I've seen more young people's lives change permanently than at youth camp. Youth rally is great. But we put a lot of emphasis on youth rally, on salvation, and getting a lot of young people saved, and we do. We had 40, about almost 50 this year. But as far as changing their life permanently, I've never seen nothing do as much as youth camp. I mean, I can name you bunches. I can name you a bunch of preachers right now that are somewhere preaching tonight that got right with God at youth camp. So I'm telling you, let's pray. There's just something about getting out there, getting away from everything for a week. No influence of the world, no radio, no TV, no nothing. And the Lord just starts working on them. Then more about that third night of that, man, they start hitting the altar and getting right with God, and they come home on fire for God, and I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like it. There ain't nothing like it. We've been talking. I was talking to the guy over at the camp today on the phone, and I was talking to a couple of preachers, and talking to one, and he said, man, every one of them told me this. They said, man, we need it. Man, we need it. Man, we need it. Man, we need it. So let's get fired up and seek the Lord before we go to camp. Anybody want to say anything right quick? I'm going to hurry and get the rest of this. We're about 5 minutes. We're done. Now look what he said. Verse 5. He also took away out of the cities of Judah the high places and the image, all them false gods and stuff. And the kingdom was quiet. Verse 6. And he built fenced cities in Judah. And verse 7 and 8, they had walls and towers. You know what they're telling us now? They're telling us now, tear the walls down. Tear the fences down. You know what they did in the Bible? Put the fence up. Let me ask y'all something. How many of y'all in here have ever raised animals? Dogs, German Shepherd, Cocker Spaniel, a purebred like that? Everybody, about all of you have. Let me ask you something. If you got a Cocker Spaniel or a German Shepherd or a, Bulldog, or you got, and you want to keep them pure, one question, do you put the fence up or do you take the fence down? Any nut can understand that if you want to keep your dogs, all bulldogs and all terriers or whatever they are, you keep the fence up. And you know what the world's telling us now? Take the fence down. You know what you got to do to raise kids? You got to keep the fences up around. You have to. You have to. You can't say, well, I'm just going to let them make up their own mind because so many people force religion on their... You let that fence down, the devil's going to get them. The only way that you're going to do is keep... And the dogs will be around that fence a howling after your kids, the hounds of hell, and you've got to keep the fence up. Lord have mercy, I went through that battle for years. As soon as Carrie got 13, 12, I mean, boys started calling out. We had one call out one time. This one, Chris and Corey, was, oh Lord, one of them was 18, one of them was 15. One call house said, Corey there. I answered the phone. Corey there. Oh no, that ain't the way we do it. Man, ain't got enough guts to say, Mr. Castle, this is so-and-so. Would it be all right if I spoke? He said, Corey there. I said, who are you? Boy, that shook him up like that. He thought I was just going to hand her the phone. You mean you think I'm going to raise them kids all their life and just take the fence down and let the dogs come in after them? No. They're mad and I still got the fence up. Ask them. The dogs are still after them. Amen. Amen. Snoop, dog, and all them old pervs are still after our kids. He said, Corey there. I said, who are you? He said, I forgot what his name was. He gave me his first name. Let's just say Justin. It wasn't Justin, but let's just say Justin. Justin who? No. Click. I said, Justin, who? Who's your daddy? He said, I said, you got a job? I did. I really did. I was just messing with him. He's scared to death, man. And then what they'll do, they'll figure out how to call when they know you're not there. Because they knew I preached all the time, you know, and everything. But you know what I'm trying to do? Keep that fence up. They built some cities and they built fences around them. You say, but you got to let kids make their own choices. Okay, let them choose if they go to school or not. Let them choose. You don't want to force anything on them. Let them decide. Now, honey, if you don't feel comfortable going to school, let them choose to brush their teeth or not brush their teeth. Let them choose whether to take a bath or not take a bath. That's a bunch of bull. You build them fences. You've got to make them do certain things. That's why you're the big person, they're the little person. You've got to start when they're that high. This is off the subject, but all you mamas with these little kids in here, I had somebody tell me, let's see, church member, not here tonight, call me, said, Brother Danny, my sister's kid's out of control, crazy. Why? Said, it just runs and screams and hollers. And I said, you know what's wrong with that kid? And I said, what? And I said, it ain't never had its wheel broke. A kid's like a donkey. The Bible says it. Man's like a wild ass's colt. They have to be broke. They got to be broke. And the only way you can break them is constant correction and discipline where they finally get it figured out. You're in charge and I got to do what you say. If you don't, they're going to boss you around and you won't be able to do nothing. Well, I can't for them. I can't. This little kid's a terror. He runs in and everybody... The worst thing you can do to them is make them laugh at them and think it's cute when they do something ugly. It ain't cute. It ain't cute. I had a kid one time I was preaching, and he'd crawl up under the pew and look up under here, and he'd run out here, and everybody around was going, I want to say, don't laugh at that. That's the devil. Kid's full of the devil. I mean, before church, after church, fine. But the mama, they're all sitting there laughing at him. I mean, that person might have been lost. But anyway, that's another story. Anybody? Anybody else? I'm going to stop right there. Go ahead, brother. That's right. That's right. That's right. Anybody else? And look what she got. I'm just kidding.